Coach, when you look at the Eagles on tape, what is your assessment of the offense that Chip Kelly has implemented?
Well, first of all, they don't make very many mistakes. They run the ball very well. They're the top in the NFL. I think they're second in the NFL, first in the NFL in rushing. LeSean McCoy is a threat every time he touches the ball. They threaten the whole width of the field with the way that they run the read option stuff. And they've made a lot of big plays in the passing game, particularly over these last six games. You know, a lot of balls go over the top of the defense when the defense is crowded up there to stop the run. So, you know, they've done some really good things over the last 6 weeks. Anytime you're 5-1 in that span, you're going to be happy with the way things have been going.
Jim, what's your assessment of Nick Foles and what, you know, so far what he's been able to accomplish? And does he look like a guy that, you know, can sustain this kind of success going forward into, you know, the next season and maybe beyond?
Well, I think the biggest thing with quarterbacks that you want to judge guys on is wins and losses. You know, a lot's being made of his 19 touchdowns and zero interceptions, even though he's had, you know, a couple that have been near misses. I mean, I think every quarterback does. But, you know, it's, you know, all due respect to fantasy football and stuff like that, the only thing that really matters for quarterback stats is their ability to lead the team to wins, and he's done that. You know, he's executed their offense. They're calling the exact same plays that they called early in the season with Michael Vick. You know, and obviously that's a different skill set between the two guys. You know, Foles doesn't have the mobility that that Vick has. But they still executed that offense. And, you know, and I think that's a credit to the Foles also. It's not exactly his strength as a player, but he's executed it very well, and he's led them to wins.
What are the advantages or disadvantages of running a wide nine front against a spread team that does a little zone read?
I don't know if I want to get into stuff like that. We believe in what we do. I'm sure they believe in what they do. You know, we'll be prepared for their runs. They'll be prepared for our fronts. All schemes work if the players are if players fit the scheme, if the players are well coached, and you execute what you work. But you know, again, the other teams are going to be trying just as hard to stop what you do. And you know, it's going to be a good battle. We played the run very well lately. And when I say lately, I really mean all year. Early in the season, our run stats weren't the greatest on defense because we gave up a couple big plays. First play of the season, we gave up about an 80-yarder to Adrian Peterson. After that, he averaged about a yard a carry. We gave up a near 60-yarder to Forte. We gave up a reverse for a big chunk against Cleveland. And they sort of turned our run stats a little bit, but I think over the course of the year we've been a very good run team, and particularly these last six or seven games, you know, we've shut down some pretty good run teams and some pretty good running backs. You know, and we have a great challenge ahead of us with LeSean McCoy and Brown and you know, and even Foles will pull that thing and run it. So you know, it's going to be a great challenge. We faced similar type schemes in the past. You know, it's a similar philosophy, but a different scheme when you talk about the Redskins and what RG3 does. You know, but that's obviously going to be a big part of this game because they're committed to the run. It sets up a lot of the stuff that they do, and we're a team that's been pretty good against the run.
Hey, Jim, I know you had a prior relationship with Jim Washburn, but it did not end well here last year. What do you know about the way it ended, and was that a concern at all when you were bringing him in?
I worked with Jim for over a decade, a decade in Tennessee. We had a lot of success together, and he's been able to develop players. You know, even though we had a hard time re-signing guys, we had some cap issues, and we would draft guys, and they'd develop, and then they'd go on to the next team, and it was almost like a college-type system because you didn't have many guys for more than 4 years. He is unequivocally one of the best position coaches in the National Football League. We're really glad to have him here. He's made a difference on our staff, not just with our run defense, but also with our pass rush. We're starting to go. We had some injuries, but you see a guy like Ziggy Ansah, you know, he missed a couple games, but he's sitting with 7 sacks. Devin Taylor, you know, Jim Washburn works very well with Chris Kocurek, a guy that was one of his proteges, and now they're working together, and I like where we're going defensive line-wise, and Jim Washburn's a big part of that.
Coach, do you ever get used to having a receiver like Calvin Johnson, or after all this time, does he continue to amaze you?
It would fall into the latter. He continues to amaze me. You get used to seeing him around, and you forget how big he is until game day. And he puts that uniform on, and I was defensive coordinator for a long time, and I know how difficult it is to defend guys like that because, you know, even when your scheme is good, he can still make a play. He opens things up for the rest of our offense. He's a difficult matchup for anybody in the league. He's a great guy. As good a player as he is, he's a better person and he's a better teammate. He's an unselfish player. He's the hardest worker on our team. You run out of superlatives for a guy like Calvin Johnson.
Jim, what is your level of concern with David Akers?
You know, I think I said this yesterday. We have 53 guys on our roster, and we feel confident of putting anybody in the game to do the role that they have. And David's a veteran kicker. He's been around a long time. And, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, Foles maybe being 19 touchdowns and zero interceptions. I don't think anybody thinks he's going to continue that for the course of his career. He's going to throw an interception, you know, sometime. And if he doesn't, he's probably not being aggressive enough. He's probably not, I don't say taking enough risk, but, you know, I mean, it just sort of goes along with the job. Missing field goals goes along with field goal kickers. I mean, I remember when Gary Anderson was 100% when he was in Minnesota. Didn't miss the whole year. And then they had a big kick in the NFC Championship game, and he ended up missing one. And, I'm sure he would have switched some in there. I mean, it's sort of a fact of life that they're going to miss some. But just like Reggie Bush fumbling, he fumbled in our first series, and he had a couple of fumbles against Pittsburgh. We didn't bench him. We didn't, not hand him the ball anymore. We kept feeding him the ball. He had a great day for us and led us to a big Thanksgiving win. I think it's the same thing for a guy like David. He's a veteran player. He's smart. He's good for our team. He's good for our young punter. He brings a lot of positives. And when there's a clutch kick, we'll have confidence to put David out there to make it.
In watching you guys in the red zone, you see a 6'5 receiver, 6'6 receiver, 6'7 tight end, 6'5 tight end. What is that size? What's that advantage bring for you down there?
Yeah, that's low post basketball. You know, I mean, you get guys matched up, and you just, you know, you don't have to be a perfect pass to complete a touchdown. And we do have some size in our receiving corps. Chris Durham, 6'5". Calvin obviously has that size. Joe Fourier, 6'7", might be selling him a little bit short. Brandon Pettigrew, a lot of guys with great length. And when the field gets smaller, it helps when your players are big. You know, because again, it's a lot like a basketball court. It gets small, and the size mismatch can mean a lot. There's not a lot of space out there to throw to, so. Guys are going to be covered. They have to be physical and have good size to be able to come down with some of those balls.
Jim, one of the numbers that jumps out to me is the 15 sacks that you've allowed, a pretty low number. How much is that a credit to the offensive line, particularly your two tackles who are, a second-year kid and a rookie?
Yeah, I think our offensive line has played well throughout the year. We had a couple blips where we didn't play well. I think one was first game against Green Bay. And those guys were eager to atone for it. I think they did in Thanksgiving. That was a full-strength Green Bay defense. And they had given us a lot of problems in the first game, and we had won that matchup the second time around. In Pittsburgh, I didn't think we played our best. But we've won some pretty good matchups. In our own division, we have guys like Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers and Jared Allen, some tough defensive lines. And we've won some of those matchups, or most of those matchups. We've run the ball effectively and created some explosives running the ball, and also protected the passer. We drop back to pass a lot, and a lot of it's a combination of things. The offensive line doesn't stand alone. It's the quarterback getting rid of the ball. It's wide receivers getting open. The offensive line can protect great. If no receivers are open and the quarterback doesn't get rid of the ball, you're still going to take sacks, and a lot of times, if you get beat in protection, if the quarterback's quick with the football, I think that you can avoid sacks. And we want to avoid negative plays on offense. You know, they're tough to overcome, and I think our offensive line has put us in a position to do that. Like you said, we got some young players, a second-year left tackle, rookie right guard, rookie right tackle. You know, our second tight end is a rookie. You know, there's some experience in there also. Dominic Rowell played his 200th game in the NFL. I think that flew under the radar. That's a big accomplishment for an offensive lineman. Left guard Rob Sims is very experienced. Our tight end Brandon Pettigrew is very experienced, and our quarterback has some experience now. So, yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things. But you know, that is important to what we do offensively. We can't afford second down and 18 and third down and 16. Those aren't good situations for any offense.
Yeah, how would you describe Matt's season to this point?
I'm 7-5, you know, and I think that's, like I said before when talking about Nick Foles, that's the number one thing when you talk about a quarterback. You know, however you do it, your job to, you know, to find a way to win the game. It's not about stats. It's about finding a way to win games. And, you know, we've been good enough to win 7 games and be in first place in the NFC North. You know, we've also lost 5 games. So, you know, I think I'll let everybody else evaluate it and things like that. We're very happy with Matt. He's a great quarterback. He's a great leader on our team. We're always in the game when he's a quarterback. And I think I'll just leave it there.
We saw from having Washburn here that he likes to rotate defensive line as frequently as possible, have him just kind of go crazy and then rotate him after a while. And, of course, the Eagles offense uses an up-tempo, no huddle that kind of prevents substitutions. So what do you think about that kind of aspect of the game, and what are you guys doing to prep for Philly's up-tempo?
Yeah, and that's the first time we've seen that. You know, we've rotated guys. I mean, even before Wash was here, you know, it's similar to what we did at Tennessee. You know, you want to keep guys fresh and things like that. There's ways you can do it. I mean, in between series you can do it. I mean, if you're getting 3 and outs, there's not a lot of tired people on defense. And we're a pretty good team on third down, and, you know, we got to be able to get them the third down and get stops. And, you know, you don't have a whole lot of problems rotating if you're getting stops. You know, we were pretty fresh when we were playing Green Bay, and our guys were playing pretty well in that game. So, but, you know, the no huddle, the hurry up tempo, I mean, that's something we've seen from a lot of different teams. It's not unique to Philly, and, you know, we'll be ready for it.
It's rare to see a linebacker with 6 interceptions. What is DeAndre Levy doing to get those numbers?
He's very instinctive in the pass. His last name is pronounced Levy, by the way. Yeah, I mean, people are going to know that pretty soon. I mean, when you keep intercepting passes the way that he does. You know, he actually should have 7. He dropped an easy one against Pittsburgh. He's had a couple other just off his fingertips, including one last week that, you know, he probably would have gone distance for. You know, he's a veteran player, but he's a young player, very instinctive in the run and pass game. He works really hard at preparing. Our linebacker coach, Mac Burke, has had him his whole career and has really worked hand-in-hand with his development. I think our linebacker crew has been a strength on our team. It's one of the reasons that we've been pretty good against the run. You look at some of the things we're good at on defense. We've been good against the run. We're good on third down. We've been good in the red zone. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with our linebackers. It's a young group, but it's also a veteran group. Stephen Tulloch's having an outstanding year at middle linebacker. Ashley Palmer's in his first year as a starter in our base package, and he's done a nice job in there also. They're physical. They're sure tacklers. You know, we didn't tackle. You look one game, we didn't tackle very well, and that was Pittsburgh. But over the course of the year, we've been a very good tackling team, and that starts with our linebackers, including DeAndre Levy.
Jim, Calvin, I think I read, didn't practice yesterday. Do you expect him to practice today?
We'll see. You know, we take it day by day with those guys and try to make the best decision to, you know, get them through the week. We don't have any rules here when it comes to practicing on Wednesday or Thursday and playing on Sunday. Everybody's at a different place physically. Particularly when you're talking about the, you know, 3/4 of the way through an NFL season, mm-hmm. You know, it's all about getting them to Sunday, and you know, there's a fine line there. You want them to be able to practice and be prepared and things like that, but You know, Calvin's gone some weeks without practicing at all. You know, been able to go out on Sunday, and you know, some weeks he's practiced more than others. Hey, he's no different than a few other players on our team. We have some other guys that are in that boat. Reggie Bush has been in that boat. Lou Delmas has been in that boat. Rover Quinn, our other safety. I mean, there's other guys that have, you know, we've taken a proactive approach to. And I think that's the biggest thing. We just, you know, we realize there's, you know, all due respect to Allen Iverson, there's a difference between games and practice. And, you know, we want to get out there on Sunday.